With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Lembit Opik on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Lembit Opik Show here on today's News Talk TNT. Just over halfway through, we've got a fascinating guest coming up in just a few minutes who will be able to give you not just information about what he's been doing, but also something about a recent victory. The English Constitution Party has been active in court, in a manner of speaking. What are they for? What do they stand for? And what are they trying to achieve? A proliferation of parties has occurred recently in the United Kingdom. Why are people so fed up with the old guard? Well, you know my views. I think that we have a uni party. We don't really have a choice between Labour and Conservative, because either leader could run either party, in my opinion. So let's find out what's going to be going on with Graham Moore in just a few minutes' time. But before that, let's go north of the border. Once again, folks all over the world, you might find this interesting because it's a case study in how not to run a regional assembly. You might call it a national assembly. You might call it a government. Whatever you call it, it's on the ropes at the moment. The Scottish National Party, which supports the independence of Scotland from the rest of the United Kingdom, has been having a little bit of local difficulty. Mr. Hamza, the man in charge of the Scottish National Party, made a rather interesting decision. He came to the view that Hamza Youssef is his name. He came to the view that he no longer wanted to be in coalition with the Green Party in Scotland. And as such, he summoned them. He summoned them to his office and told them, "You're out. We're not in a coalition anymore." Then he made a statement saying it wasn't in the interest of Scotland for that to continue. And now the trouble is brewing. Because of the electoral mathematics in the Scottish government, or parliament, whatever you want to call it, assembly, he might lose a no confidence motion. His party has 63 members, as I understand it. All the others, rest of the world, has 65. So if they all vote against him, he's finished. He's toast. All but one of the opposition has said that they're going to vote against him, vote in favour of a motion of no confidence, which leaves this one person in charge. This one person who will define the fate of the current First Minister, Hamza Youssef, who is head of the Scottish National Party. He's leader of the group there. Who is this one person? Well, here's where it gets really ironic. It's none other than the very person who not long ago stood against him to be the leader of the SNP, of the very party that's now in trouble. But she's now defected to another party, which only has one member of Scottish Parliament, and it's her. And it turns out it gets even more complicated now, because the former First Minister, Alex Salmond, often argued to be the most successful Scottish leader since the devolution was set up, he has now said that they've got a set of demands that they're putting to this individual, this First Minister. And if he agrees with those, I'm just looking down at the news as we're going on, just to make sure I'm up to date. If he agrees with those, then there'll be no problem, because they will vote with the government of Scotland. It's called Asher Reagan, by the way, and against them, a no confidence motion. And then we hear all kinds of talk. Oh, no, we're not going to do a deal. But then the First Minister himself says, "Well, I'm willing to talk to anybody about it." All of this is to say that after being promised a new kind of more productive and inclusive politics in Scotland, we've got nothing of the sort. We've actually got a government which is tearing itself apart by tearing the parliamentary relationships apart. Now, I don't really understand how we got to a situation where the First Minister, Mr. Youssef, thought he could get away with junking his coalition partners and not expecting there to be a consequence. Didn't he do the maths himself? anybody who looks at the electoral reality in what's called Holyrood, that's where the Parliament of Scotland is based, anyone who does the sums can see that he is only going to get a majority to protect himself if he buys off some of his opponents. Can he convince Ash Reagan, who he defeated in an election, to support him or not? Well, my guess is this. I know Alex Salmond quite well. He's a very good political operator. He's a smart cookie, and he essentially made devolution work for year upon year upon year. He was never defeated by the Scottish people. He was defeated by his own party. And I suspect what he's doing is setting up a situation where they make what look like reasonable demands, but which hold the Scottish National Party over a barrel. And so the SNP will have the choice of either agreeing with the former leader of their own party, who has one member of Scottish Parliament, and therefore being beholden to this one individual and the former First Minister or Prime Minister of Scotland, or disagreeing and losing power and potentially forcing a general election in Scotland. What makes this beautiful is that the law of unintended consequences is playing big, but those consequences were entirely predictable from the moment that Mr. Youssef junked his coalition partners. He only needed them to prop up his government in the first place because he didn't have the numbers, and now he'll pay for it. There's one final irony. The man who was thrown out into the cold by the SNP, their most successful leader in history, Alex Salmond, is also now ruling the roost de facto. He has the future of his own party, his old party, sorry, in his hands. Well, they say that revenge is a dessert best served cold. I'm not sure this is about revenge, but there could be a certain amount of schadenfreude going on here. If you don't know the meaning of that word, look it up. But I'm sure that Alex Salmond is loving every single moment of it, just as the SNP may be hating it. Who are the winners here? We don't know. But one thing's for sure, the calculation doesn't seem to have been added up right before Mr. Youssef made the move. If you're in Scotland or anywhere else, anywhere in the world, and you've got a view on this, go to tntradio.live, share your views there. You can also phone up. You've got the phone numbers available to you at that very same site. And I set our conversation up about Scotland because we're now going to go south of the border and find out from another independence group, a potential independence group, what the English Constitution Party is all about. All of that with my next guest, Graham Moore, right here on the Len Bitopic Show on TNT.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, I've been talking about what's been happening in the north bit of the United Kingdom. Now let's move to the main bit of the United Kingdom, which is England. And the man who might want to lead it one day, who knows, Graham Moore. Graham, welcome to today's News Talk. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And thanks for inviting us on. It's very rare that anybody wants to publicise what we actually stand for.
Is that because you're too extreme, too uninteresting, too misguided, or too right?
Well, I would say we are too right. We are... The only way to explain us to an audience is to say, if you take the word conservative and you look at labour, workforce, people, and you look at traditional values, what we actually stand for is conserving the libertarian functions of England and the libertarian values of our country. And guess what, people? The Constitution of England doesn't mention race anywhere. So when we explain things and explain that the Constitution of England protects everybody, regardless of the colour of your skin. So again, you're often referred to as the English flag, and people don't realise online I am referenced as Daddy Dragon, and people often ask me, why do they call you Daddy Dragon? And then when I explain to them the history of England, our original flag, which is the dragon. And then I say, people started to send me letters saying, Father Dragon, the father of the English. And then it got cut down to Daddy Dragon. So that's where it all come from.
It's confusing, though, Graham, because I was a member of parliament in Wales for 13 years. And they got a dragon. It makes it sound like you're trying to do an aggressive takeover bit of Wales. The Romans didn't succeed. Why would you?
Well, the irony is the original flag of England is the dragon. Wales is a national flag. I think it only came about in 1947. So when you look at our flag going back through history, originating in Sussex, England has been a nation since 927. We're one of the oldest nations on earth. When you look at the European Union, Germany, Italy, those types of countries, they haven't actually been nations as you see them today for very long. Look at the United States of America. The whole of their constitution is based on England. And again, when you look at the history like that, by the way, we have no issues whatsoever with Scotland, Wales, Ireland being completely independent. We believe in the number one human right, and that is self-determination for the people and for the and the nation state. So there couldn't be any more a group of people that are more anti-globalist in what they want to set up than us. And we preserve the rights of the people within that. So our manifesto, for example, this is what people often say, what's in your manifesto? And we say, it's the English Bill of Rights and the English constitutional statutes. And by the way, that is what a member of parliament is supposed to be doing in the Commons, protecting your individual rights against the power of the state. So we stand for everything that what people want, and that's why they don't promote us.
You were set up in 2021. Was that right? November 2021? Is that roughly the time?
So as a political party, we set up in 2021. Prior to that, mm-hmm. I was with another group called the English Democrats. Mm-hmm. Robin Tilbrook, who is a lawyer. But no one was pushing the constitution of England and the pure... everyone is playing politics, right? So when I say playing politics, that's what's caused this problem, right? And why I say that is because of the Parliament Act of 1911, when we first started paying MPs, and the debates at the time, and you can look it up on Hansard, they said, you're going to have a problem. You're creating a political class and political degrees. Which is, we don't believe in that. We believe that commoners should be in parliament and commoners should be protecting the rights of other commoners. And it's completely gone away from that. Now you've got a parliament full of degree educated solicitors, lawyers, doctors, professions. And they're not the people that are really connected with everyday working people. There is a lot more to it, but so 2021 we actually initiated the political party. The Electoral Commission wouldn't allow us to register. We had to threaten to sue them. Within 2 weeks they changed their mind because we challenged the lawyer in charge of the Electoral Commission. We then had to register the name as a non-profit corporation. The company's house come back and said, you can't have England or English in your name. We had to challenge that. And then there was other challenges. We couldn't open a bank account. It had to go to the hierarchy of the banks and go through their due diligence process because they said, you're a political party and we need to see what your manifesto is and what your policies are. And I said, how can that be right? There needs to be a challenge in the courts. And then again, they allowed us to open up a bank account. So the hurdles that are put in place for parties like us is why you rarely see people standing up with a political party unless they're aligned in some way. But the other issue is we also have another side of our group for people who are completely disillusioned with politics, and that's called the English Constitution Society. So there's something there for in both camps. If you believe in England and you don't want to be involved in politics, you've got the English Constitution Society. And then if you want to be more involved with the political element of pushing England forward, self-determination, complete independence, liberty for the individual, then you can join the political party.
Hold that thought. I want to come back to you in just a minute. We're talking to Graeme Moore from the English Constitution Party, and I want to talk about the society briefly as well. If you've got comments about that, and if you've got questions as well, do put them into the chat. I'll be able to read them out. We'll come back to Graeme in a minute. This is the Len Bitopic Show on today's News Talk TNT. See you in a moment.
TNT's Pella Nuroff-Taylor.
Why do we go for the sanctity of the state borders, which is Zelensky's argument? He's invaded us, he said. He's invaded Ukraine. But Ukraine is not a monolithic country. It's a country where the eastern half wants to belong to another country and are affiliated to that country. So should you go with the state border or the loyalties of the people? And in our sort of soft, dovish world, as it were, I mean, state border was a sort of Westphalian thing, I guess, in a cold, cynical, aristocratic diplomacy. But now we go with people's sympathies, you know, it's all supposed to be Democrats. But yet, but very few Western journalists talk about the truth about who the Donbass people are and where their loyalties are, and the fact that they've always lived there. They're not invaders or intruders.
Pella Nuroff-Taylor on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to the Len Bitopic Show here on today's News Talk TNT, where we find the facts, kill the spin, and tell it like it is, as well as giving a platform to those who may not get that platform somewhere else. That is the essence of free speech. Thank you for joining me. I'll go back to my guest, Graeme Moore, from the English Constitution Party in a moment. Let me just catch up with some of the comments. Otherwise, they'll disappear into the ether because you are very lively today, which is great. Holly says, did I hear Graeme Moore coming up? He's great. He has useful information. You did. Well, here he is. Presented to you live. Lord Melbury says he is great. I followed him for a long time. The establishment are frightened of Graeme. There we go. It's praise indeed. And Holly adds, well, he's giving it right back to them, isn't he? They know he's right. And there's quite a long dialogue going on there between Holly and Lord Melbury. Lord Melbury adds, the people of Scotland don't want to break away from the UK. Only the Scottish nasty party want this and project their wish as what the Scots want. Holmes is a racist. He proved it with his anti-white rant in the Scottish Parliament when he was Justice Minister. I haven't heard that, so I'll read it out. I guess that's your opinion. I will look it up, though. I'm interested to know what you have to say. I'm always a bit cautious about using the word racist because I tend to think it is overused. Generally, not saying you necessarily are overusing it, it's just my general view. Bing Singh says, when Ash Reagan left the SNP, Yousef said, no great loss. Ash Reagan talks a language that most independent supporters want to hear from politicians. SNP supporters won't admit this, but they know it's a fact. There's quite a long debate, basically. Oh, good afternoon, Graham, says Ray Edmonds, presumably somebody you know there. Then there's quite a long conversation going on there. A Hidden Truth has a great comment. It's just too long for me to read just at the moment, that's all. And Sandra Kay says they just want a two-party monopoly, and that could be true. And that's where I come back to you, Graham. You do get trouble getting airtime because you are a threat to the establishment. It seems to me that some of my viewers feel the same way. Are you a threat to the establishment?
100% yes is the answer. So the key thing that people need to understand is the English Constitution is probably the most valuable human rights set of laws ever on the planet. And I'll give you an example of that. The United Nations, the European Convention of Human Rights are all seeded from the English Bill of Rights. And then if you go back through our history, for example, and I'll just give you an example, the first country ever to put on paper via a statute, not just the common law, but a statute against the rape of women was England in the first statute of Westminster. And when the wording slightly changed, they refer to it as ravishing women, which is now the modern day name is rape. And we was the first country ever to give women rights in law against certain abuses against them. So are we a threat to the establishment? What you'll know is unionism from any standpoint, and I'm going to give you an example, the USSR. The USSR was a political union that absorbed the nations, that killed off any rights and national constitutions, absorbed the individual nation identity of the people. For example, we have the British Nationality Act of 1981. It erased Scottish, English, Irish, Welsh identity, and it replaced it with a national identity of British. The last person to do that was a guy called Joseph Stalin. And when people realized that Joseph Stalin was the commissar of identity for the USSR, and then Margaret Thatcher and the conservative government, who were unionists, they did exactly the same thing as Joseph Stalin. So again, you look at the threat that we are, you've only got to look at Russia at the moment. You can say what you like, the mainstream media and what they say about Russia. Russia prosecute their officials for torture. UNCTAD, the United Nations Convention Against Torture, was adopted by Russia. It was adopted and ratified by the British. It was incorporated into English law, Criminal Justice Act 1988, Section 134. And the only place in the world that's put a veto in there at Section 135 are the British. So that we have challenged this in the courts, and people need to understand that unionism, whether it be the European Union, whether it be the USSR, whether it be Yugoslavia, whether it be various other elements, including, I may add, the United States of America from 1860s onwards, after their Civil War, unionism and centralization of power is what causes the problem.
That's a strong criticism of unionism, and it leads to an obvious question, and I guess I know the answer. You would support English independence rather than having the union between England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland?
Absolutely correct. So England originally, when I say originally, in our past, we have been technically a confederacy. And it's a confederacy of shires and counties. Each county had its own district, county governance system. That's why you've got council chambers. And if people actually understood, it's all still there. It's been removed. And the central government has removed the power of the county councils and the county courts. And then you had the English Parliament, which was there primarily as the shires and counties coming together, and it was to assist in making sure that everyone's freedoms were intact and the power of the state couldn't intervene. I'll give you an example. So if you look at our website, for example, the number one primary policy, and this is what caused a problem for the Electoral Commission, it caused a problem for Companies House, and it caused a problem for the banks. The number one policy of the English Constitution Party and the English Constitution Society is self-determination. Self-determination is the number one human right globally. So we are the antithesis of globalism, and they don't like that. And we're actually giving power back to the people locally, not regions. Regions are a function of the European Union to destroy England. And they're already in an advanced state in Scotland, which is a region, Wales, which is a region, Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland, a pair of regions, which are their intention is to unite Ireland. I haven't got a problem with that, by the way. I don't like the way they're doing it, because they're not consulting the people, they're conning the people. But if you look at Scotland, you mentioned during the run-in to this show, people don't realise that Scotland is already a region. It's advanced in its planning and its operation. They've removed the 7 constabularies of the police. It's now a single police state. There is no one out there that can check or counterbalance another constabulary. They've removed the constabularies. Holyrood is not a parliament. It is a region of the European Union, no different to London and the assembly that Sadiq Khan now operates in as mayor. London is a region of the European Union. And regionising England is the centrepiece of destroying us as a nation. No political party talks about this because they're all unionist. They all want the same thing, and they all promote regionalisation.
There's a tone of anger in your voice as well, which I notice. You also have a very interesting slogan. It actually comes from the English Constitution Society. Make England great again. Mega. I wonder where you got that idea.
Well, again, it's a classic. So mega is make England great again. And by the way, those hats in various colours have been the greatest selling item. Everyone just say, they are quality, but they're also one of the greatest items that we sell. And just to give you an indication, this is quite amusing. We was on a demonstration in London, and there's hundreds of us. I mean, we stand there, we've got massive banners with the English Bill of Rights, with the Act of Settlement, with all our constitutional laws. And we actually bumped into Rees-Mogg. Right. So Jacob Rees-Mogg says, "What are you doing?" And we said, "We're constitutionalists." And he went, "Oh, I like that." And then he starts having a conversation with about 5 or 6 of us. And he said, "I love this." And then we had a photo done with him. And he said, "You're at a demonstration." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You're talking about England and the Constitution." I said, "Yeah, that's what we do." And he loved it. Yeah, on the other side of the fence, you've got Tony Benn. If I'll give you an example, another great constitutionist. So we've got to go back to the Constitution. The Constitution is the solution.
So you've got MEGA, Make England Great Again. You've got your party. I looked it up, and you have quite a lot of roles in it. It makes it look like it's not a very big party. What is your ambition? Do you want to win council seats, which you could do next Thursday if you've got candidates in the United Kingdom, but England primarily? You could, obviously you're not going to be standing in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, but you could stand in England. Are you going to be putting candidates up in the general election?
So the answer is we are. So you can never become a large party because the system is geared against you, right? Everything is geared against you. The only time you can start to get on the rails of the political system. And I'm being honest, we don't want to be here. We if Parliament went back to doing what it should be doing, protecting the people against the power of the state, then we'd stand back and say, we'll just keep an eye on things. We won't get involved. So getting back to, we have many members. So in the hundreds, many hundreds, as subscribers, we have thousands. When you go through the process of trying to be elected, and if anyone's ever done it, I've stood on a number of occasions in general elections, and we are standing strategically in this general election. So I'll give you an example. We have mounted a strategic election process in Chorley. And then people say, why are you standing in Chorley? And we say, because that's the Speaker. And everyone says that they won't stand against the Speaker. Well, we will, because we're constitutionalist, and the Speaker is not standing up for the people and the Constitution as he should be. So lots of people from Chorley, it had one of the largest groups of people for Brexit, for example, and they come very close to pushing him out the last time. Lots of people are getting on board. There are other ways in which you can apply constitutional pressure in the voting system. For example, and everyone watching this who's political should understand this, a spoilt ballot is counted. What's causing the problem today is people not voting. They've been demoralised. Some places you've got 60, 70% of people who are not voting. In other words, they're not turning out to vote. That means a smaller and smaller minority are actually getting the power within that parliament. And the larger majority are not voting. In law, that's called tacit agreement. And that means that if you don't vote, you agree with whatever they do. It's fine by me. Whereas if you spoil your ballot, and in particular if you write, I do not consent, Ashby versus White, 1703, the judgment, and I'm not talking about the online judgment, I'm talking about the full judgment from the archives. It was a very famous case, and it was about being governed by consent, and it was about voting. And Queen Anne intervened and prorogued Parliament. After the Law Lords fully agreed, 10-2 judgment, that you cannot interfere with an Englishman's right to vote. And basically, if you write, I do not consent on a spoilt ballot, it is better than staying at home and doing nothing, because once the I do not consents are higher than all of the political parties, you create a constitutional crisis. And that is, the people are saying, we do not consent.
Let me go through some of the comments coming in. Part of the commentary is to do with what I said about Scotland before. Holly says, tut tut, Lembo, you must be the only person who hasn't heard the Scottish First Minister's White rant. Well, I haven't heard it. I will have a look at it. Mogden says, you haven't seen Humza, it's useless as white speech then, but I haven't seen it. I'll have a look at it after the show. Okay, don't go on. I'll have a look, okay? I can't comment it. And just to help me, Lord Melbury's actually put the link to it in the chat. I will look at it after the show, folks, in about an hour and a half. Bing Singh says 56% in favour of Scottish independence was the last poll. Unionists ignore that when they say Scots don't want it. Even a UK biased poll will say 50-50. Lord Melby says others say differently. Ray Edmonds says, can you find Graham on Rumble, Daddy Dragon, the full English show, or X? Are you on any of those, Graham?
So I've been banned from YouTube. I've been banned from Facebook. I had literally hundreds of thousands of subscribers on both. Some of my videos were getting 1.5 million views. There is an audience for what we're talking about. Again, we're not the political ideology of left and right. We're not involved with that. We're We're about conserving the liberties and the rights of the people. And any form of authoritarian government doesn't like that. So I'm currently on Rumble. That platform is now growing. We've got thousands of subscribers on there. Can't remember what we're at the moment, somewhere in the region, 6,000 subscribers. That's called The Full English Show. And by the way, just behind me, you'll see on my shelf, and I'm not promoting this as alcohol. I'm promoting it as an achievement. The English have just won the Global Award for the best single malt whiskey in the world, and nobody knows. And it's a distillery in Norfolk. And just to let you know, we beat the Scots, we beat the Irish, we beat the Welsh. All of those distillers of single malt whiskies, the English have taken the prize globally.
Is it smoky?
It's lovely. Yeah, it is smoky. It is absolutely. That is one of their special cast ones. Someone sent it to me. And I just said, I can't, 10-year-old cask single malt whiskey. So I'm now keeping it. I just haven't got the heart to drink it. It's love. Oh, I've had other bottles of it. So yeah, no, it's great.
Bing Sing says, I like this guy. Scotland and England would be stronger. And I think even closer allied if we were separate. Question for you then, before we go to the break. It sounds to me that Scottish independence is something you would support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just as a quick one here, anyone, so whether it be Welsh, Scottish or Irish, who attack the English, I always say that is very British of you, because the British divide and rule. That is how they have always operated. Scotland in particular, obviously, the English Bill of Rights, there was very grave tyranny, and the Scots said, we want the same rights as an Englishman, and we stuck around out, shook hands and said, you've got the claim of right, 1689. So again, I mean, I love Scotland and I love the Scottish people. I love their culture, but people must get away from the indoctrination of the system that tries to enforce Scottish people, Welsh people, Irish people attacking the English. It is not the English. It is the British regime that is causing those problems, not us. Okay. And independence is fantastic.
Hold that thought. We'll come back to you in just a moment. I'm speaking to Graham Moore, who is involved with the English Constitution Society, which wants to make England great again, and the English Constitution Party, which is saying, if you don't like any of the candidates, still go out and just simply write, I do not consent, on the ballot paper, a form of revolution, which is something we discussed with our previous guest, John Padbury. We'll come back to Graham again in just a minute or two. Do keep your calls and comments coming. You're a lively lot today, as often you are. There's a question for you from Lord Melbury as well, Graham. I'll share that after the break. You're listening to the Len Bedobic Show here on today's News Talk TNT. I'll see you after the break.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for healing and care. For life-saving medical care, for a chance to live with dignity and hope. They are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. And now, as our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship sets sail, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now.
Without the work of Mercy Ships, these patients don't have another option.
Mercy Ships is answering the call to serve suffering people who have nowhere else to turn. Together, we are going to some of the world's most desperate places and bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most. To learn more about this wave of hope, go to mercyships.org today.
Our beautiful world is changing, withering, dying, by the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands and save our wildlife, with big solutions only nature can provide. To learn more, visit nature.org today.
Lembit Opik on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I'm still with Graham Moore from the Constitution Party and also support of the Constitution, the English Constitution Party, also support of the English Constitution Society, which seeks to make England great again. Lots of comments coming in. He's obviously got you going, generally in a good way, as far as I can tell. Ray Edmund says, like Touch Parliament and Town Councils, power reinstalled, counties restored, by inference, Ray's supporting those ideas. I've got a question for Graham. I'll come back to that in just in a minute. Sesmo says the English Constitution is the solution. Ray Edmund says, vote, I do not consent. Sesmo seems to know Ray. They're having a dialogue now. Hermetica says, about not voting, everyone should vote. A hard fought for right, even if you spoil your ballot. There's a link to the English Constitution Party if you want to know more about it in the chat. Thank you. That's helpful if you want to look at that. Lord Melbury says Graham is banned because he's right over the target. Full English show. June English has put that in there. But it seems like it's yours. It says Daddy Dragon channel as well. You've got your own channel. Holly says, I've made posters saying if you don't vote, you're agreeing with the results. Go and vote and spoil your ballot with I do not consent. It will be counted. They're going up all over my area. Good work, Holly. You're getting more active every time I see something from you. June English has put, I do not consent. And look what looks like a YouTube video of some sort there. Holly says, really? A single malt? Excellent. We'll have to look for that. What's the name of it? What's the name of it, Graham? Your single malt.
It's called... The single malt is called, is literally called the English whiskey. It's distilled by the English Scottish whiskey distillers in Norfolk. It's just called the English whiskey. It's fantastic.
Have you had? I don't want to ask you any last time. Let me ask you another question, which is political. Question for Graham. Says Lord Melbury. What's your view on forced immigration to the UK? I think it is intentionally destroying the UK. Would independent nations put a stop to unacceptable immigration? What would be your immigration policy? It seems to be the bane of the Conservatives and actually to an extent Labour, who did nothing about it much either.
The direct answer to that is there would be a complete and utter full stop on all immigration. All visas coming into this country until we resolve the issues. Direct answer to everyone, if anyone thinks that they're, you know, most of the people coming into this country are going straight onto the benefit system. The National Health Service is being completely overwhelmed.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you. When you say complete stop to immigration, that's a big statement. Does that mean that you can't bring people in for your company? Does it mean that you can't have people coming here in a long-term student process? When you say stop all immigration, that's a big statement.
Well, it's not only a big statement, it's a big problem. And the problem is people in Parliament, the British regime, are bringing these people in. They're not stopping the boats. They have had every opportunity to protect England. The British regime is not protecting England, our nation and our people. And therefore, I can tell you now, it's one of the greatest policies. That doesn't mean, by the way, that we're going to go around throwing people out of the country. What it means is we will bring back the English Constitution, English rights. And it doesn't matter, again, I've started the conversation with this, it doesn't matter what colour your skin is. The Constitution doesn't mention anywhere the colour of your skin. What we actually say is we will protect the people. And it's the nation is there and the Parliament is there is to protect the people. And what's happening now with open borders, and it's not just people coming across in dinghies. The visa system is broken. It's being abused, and it has been for a very long time. So, okay,
but I just want to push you on this. Yeah, I want to push on this a bit because I can see a problem in a blanket stop. Let's say you need somebody from, let's say you run a big company, an American company, and you need somebody from America who happens to be particularly good at a project to come and work here for 2 years. Would you let that person in?
Well, so my answer to that is, are you telling me out of a population of, let's say, 35 million working people in England, Scotland, Wales or Ireland, are you telling me that we haven't got that person trained to that standard in this country? And if that is what you're saying, if that is what you're saying, you've created that problem, not us, not the people, right? When I say you, I mean the British regime.
Well, okay.
It's a bit like, you know, there's many things that you can talk about. You're taking and you're doing a, this is particular of a politician, by the way. You're taking an outlier and throwing it in as a mainstream argument. That doesn't work with working people, right? With normal, everyday working people, that argument does not sit well. It's a bit like saying to a plumber, you need to be skilled in, you know, how many PSI pipes, for example. And then the plumber says to you, but we've only got one in the country. Why does every plumber need to be, if you need someone on a contract basis from America, I'm not suggesting that, but that's not immigration. That's a different process.
Okay. That's fine. I'm not trying to trick you. And I was a politician for a long time, but I'm not sure how political I was even when I was in Parliament. I was really just questioning the absolutism, but you've answered the question. You're saying that with contracts and so on, there'd be something there. I don't want to nitpick. I don't want to get trivial about it because you're making a big picture point here. So yeah. It's not interesting to viewers if I just try to catch you out. What I'm understanding in that spirit that you're saying is you would put a stop to immigration for any jobs that could reasonably be filled in the UK.
Exactly.
What about this flotilla of individuals coming across the channel? An issue which it seems to me wouldn't be hard to fix if you spent the money on drones, which we clearly have to spend in Ukraine. You could spend a tiny proportion of that to see pretty much everything that's coming across the channel, and you could apprehend them by having a few boats.
So do you want me to give you the simplest way of fixing that problem?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You simply turn around to France and the European Union and say, you do not have access to our markets. If those boats continue, we're putting a 50% tariff on your goods, and it will increase by 10% every month as long as them boats keep coming. And then people in the political regime, the British regime, say, oh, but it will cause inflation. Do you want me to tell you when it last happened? Denmark and Germany. In the 1990s, you know what happened? They had a bit of political problem. So Denmark turned around to Germany and said, tell you what, we are putting a 50% markup on all your vehicles. Bang. What happened? The manufacturers of German cars had to reduce their prices and then send their vehicles into that market. It didn't affect the people of Denmark and Sweden and those countries, it affected the manufacturers in Germany. It started to affect jobs in Germany. What happened? The manufacturers went to the German regime at the time and said, you need to do something. You need to solve this problem. We're losing jobs, right? And then they solved the problem. Who was another person who solved that problem in America? Donald Trump. What did he say? He said to the Mexicans, you either stop this or we're putting tariffs on your goods. You're going to be paying for the wall. And that's what he meant. So can you solve the problem very simply? And just to make sure I emphasize this point, because of the European Union and the way it was set up, in the 90s, moi was buying vehicles right-hand drive in Denmark and Sweden and importing them to England with a 30% almost decrease in price. That's how much it affected people. So when people want to understand, tariffs can be put to use to protect this nation, and you simply say, listen, we're the fifth largest economy in the world. Not Scotland, not Wales, not Northern Ireland, England. And when people realise our economy can be used against France, they'll hold their hands up and say, we'll stop the boats.
I think we might be the sixth largest, but I get the point there. Looking at the future, Graham, are you planning to stand for Parliament or for local government yourself?
Most definitely. So I'll be standing in Chorley as a strategic stand, and there's a couple of other places we're standing in, but we're already working in the background. But again, we don't get promoted at all, even though we should do on the BBC. We don't get invited to hustings. You're basically ostracized from the uni-party system by the mainstream media. And it's one of the reasons why I like TNT, because at least you can have a debate. So me and you could disagree on political matters. I come at things from a different perspective. I'm a working man. I'm not in the professions. I actually talk to people and live as they do. So again, the perspective of a working person and a working conservative, and I don't mean conservative and union party, I'm talking about someone who conserves the nation, our traditions, our way of life for everyone, black, white, brown, and yellow. We're not interested in race. It's not of interest. We've got lots of different colours in our party. And that's the bit when we go out protesting, people look and say, that black person over there is waving an English flag. I said, because he's English.
When you put it like that, it sounds fairly self-explanatory. Looking at this year, it's the general election year, it's local government day next Thursday. I'm one of those, since I was 15, even when I didn't completely understand it, I'm one of those people who stays up to watch the results. I kind of understand them now.
Yeah.
What do you think would be your response if somebody poked you in the chest and said, people like you are splitting the vote against the uni parties. Why can't you all get together and make one big party, Reform, yourselves, UK Independence Party, all of the parties, one big alternative, say, this is the I Do Not Consent Party, and then you could actually get power?
The direct answer is we have looked at that. The I Do Not Consent campaign is something we obviously support. We're not targeting people that vote Conservative, Labour or Liberal Democrats. You're all Fabian controlled, right? If you want to get into Fabians, I'd love to do that with you, because people...
As Lib Dem, I was never approached by the Fabians. Maybe I just didn't fit. But maybe others did. Maybe from my own experience, I think the Lib Dems ended up in bad hands, but I don't think it was the Fabians. But carry on. Yeah.
So most people don't know, over 340 politicians, current serving MPs, are Fabians and members of the Fabian Society. And that includes Conservatives, Tories, and Toryism comes from Fabianism. It's the same thing. You've got another group called the Milner Group. When you start to investigate what they've been doing in the background, and it goes right all the way back to Karl Marx. But without getting into, I will sort of finish if you want me to on another element of that. But getting back to the I Do Not Consent, we are about self-determination, right? So there are a number of different groups that do believe in self-determination. All of the uni parties are actually unionists, and they are the ones who are seeking to destroy England. If you spoke to UKIP, that they are still promoting regionalisation of England. If you speak to Reform UK, they are still promoting the regionalisation of England. A key requisite is no regionalisation of England. It is a European concept to destroy England. So that's why we could never align with any of these people. Mm-hmm. We refer to Nigel Farage, for example, and I've done conferences and spoken at Texit at their conference in November. I've given free speeches to the Texit conference just to make sure people are aware. The Americans were amazed. I said, do you know what we call Nigel Farage? And they said, no. And I said, Benedict Arnold. And they stood back and said, why is that? Now, most people, the majority of your audience probably don't even know who Benedict Arnold was.
And you've got 10 seconds to explain it because we're just about to finish. 10 seconds. Who's Benedict Arnold?
Benedict Arnold betrayed George Washington and took 10,000 guineas off the British to surrender a fort to the British during the independence.
Thank you. I've got to stop there because we're out of time. We'll definitely get you back, Graham. You will not be censored on today's news talk. Thanks so much. And coming up next, we're going to be talking to a Green Beret, a former one, somebody who knows a lot about war and peace. All of that with me, Len Vitopek, here on TNT. See you after the break.